with Ion.
Very nice, Bob. Did you ever see Willie DeVille in person?
I can actually play me watching him. We were there in June 4th, 5th, and 6th, 1976, when they made the CBGB's album, Underground to CBGB's, and I stood 2 feet from Mink DeVille as he sang in the little stage at CBGB's, and I was very impressed. And then hours later, I was pogoing, bouncing all over the place, and looked over, and there was some transvestite, blonde weirdo, and he was staring at me. So I looked at him, and I looked away. I looked at him, and he was still staring at me. For fucking sake, what the hell? What am I radiating? So then a couple of nights later, we're walking along the village, one of the streets down there, and there was this living room. And we look in, and there's Mink DeVille with the transgendered fuck-up right beside him watching TV. And they got the window open, and people of tourists are walking by. This is like in June 76. And they're all looking at him, and he doesn't care. And then he became a junkie. And he barely made it to his career. Bob Dylan said he's one of the greatest American singers ever. Yeah.
And he was mad because he wanted Bobby to give him a blowjob. That's what ruined his career.
I was there wasting time pogoing. I didn't know it was called pogoing then, but I was just jumping up and down.
Pogoing.
Nice
pogoing,
place. Some of the
yeah.
songs performed. I have that on my timeline here. Songs performed on that album that weekend, June 4th, 5th, and 6th, 1976. Famous
doing
album.
Doing push-ups on the dollar bill.
That was the year before in 75. That was April 75.
Well, I know. We were just showing up. That's when you were making dates, Bob. You were trying to get attention. You were just trying to get attention.
Yeah, I was trying to get attention.
All right, Jenny Bell. Let's get to work, baby. We got things to do. Damn. We got stuff to
I'm
do.
I'm not trying to get attention anymore,
let's go.
And now the whole world's looking at me.
Now he's trying to get rid of attention. He's trying to keep the pussies off of him now. The pussies are attacking now. He doesn't know what to do now.
Bob, Ion, I do have a couple questions, just real brief. You sent me a thing about the Layers of Heaven with the Enoch video.
Enochian word,
yes. And I looked at it, and in the one that you told me about, there was a fifth heaven, and it then went to the seventh heaven, and there was nothing about the sixth heaven. Was that omission? Was there not a sixth heaven? What was going on there?
They didn't get there. Taken up by God, he didn't hit the sixth level. See, you got to get, the veneration comes from the Oriental Orthodoxy, and then you have Eastern Orthodoxy, and then you have the Enochian Christian. That's the John D. stuff. You don't like that. We understand that. We get that. But those are those things that it was all shredded through the Coptic Church. And that's why that would be omitted, about 700 years or so ago. Hebrews 11:5. We know you hate that. Sorry.
Okay, so there was a sixth heaven, but he did not particularly go there because he went to all the others.
Correct. The rabbinic text doesn't acknowledge it, you see. You got the Slavonic that comes into this whole other world that's trying to give the new attendant to the throne of God. And that's why nobody really gives too much attention to Enoch, which is the key to ascension, which is why we sent it to you, Genesis 5:24.
Okay, you said that Jesus was the key to ascension, so Enoch is a different aspect of this
They hooked up.
Okay. And did Jesus reveal himself in a particular layer of heaven to Enoch?
The sixth layer.
Okay, so the sixth layer, but you said he didn't get there, so I'm confused now.
Well, it's the reference. The reference is how it's presented, darling. You've got a Coptic view of ascension, and that's the only one you really have today. Because you don't have an Enochian Christian view that applies. So you gotta like, wait a minute, am I taken up by God, or am I God, or is this God, or what happened? You can't get there from there. So therefore it is ambivalent, or maybe ambiguous. But the both apply, because now if you bring this all in, like, say take the Church of the Latter-day Saints theology, then what you gonna do with that? That's a whole other twisting thing that some crazy angel told you how to do a whole other thing and get everybody pregnant that you could be still with. So those references all potentially apply. But what you're trying to do is connect the dots. What you're trying to do is connect the dots, and we like that. We just gave you some more references to say, oh, okay, this is what that works into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. All right, so I will fix that. I have some questions for Saturday, but it's too much for tonight. Let me ask you this, too, on Methuselah. When he, after the translation of Enoch, Methuselah was proclaimed ruler of the earth by all the kings. So
yeah, had to.
And had to because he had to take care of all the demons.
No, wait now. No, not, okay, no. It goes to Lamech. You got to watch Lamech. That's what you're trying to fit. Luke lays it out pretty good back to Adam in Luke 3. But it's Lamech is why that Methuselah applies. Because otherwise it wouldn't really matter. See, there's an angel that's involved, what we call the angel of the presence. That's in the written law. That's from Mount Sinai side. But now this goes all the way from Levi, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, up to Shem, Methuselah, and then Noah behind Enoch. So this lays out, okay, let's do it this way. Don't do all that. Don't do all that. That'll confuse you. Go to the book of Jasher. J-A-S-H-E-R. Do that one. And now study that one, and then you can ask all kinds of good questions. Ooh, it's so good. You did good, honey. You've been doing your homework. This is good.
Okay, so you're saying that the reason why Methuselah had to be the king was because of Lamech, but the whole Lamech just falls off the face of the earth. Or no, he's the father
exactly.
of Noah.
That's exactly right. And so that brings forth the city of Zion, Zion.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
Excellent. That's very good. So now take it literal, always do it literal. Now there's going to be a lot of different, canons that are going to be presented when you really look. And then there's going to be some myth and there's going to be some, mistranslation, la, 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 la. Don't worry about all that. The Septuagint's always going to try to confuse the narrative. Don't worry about that. Go to the baseline. The baseline lays it out really easily. That's enough. That's enough to say.
Okay. And then,
watch the Sumerian kings. Watch the Sumerian kings. They'll give you insight. Because all these things that were going on outside of what you call Kiskasay Hebrewism or Christianity or salvation or oh, fuck, fill in the blank. We don't know what you call it. They call it all kinds of things. All those references can't stand on their own. I mean, who are they going to say, Babylon didn't exist. There was no Babylon. They're not saying that. Babylon stood. It fell, but it stood. It was a zeitgeist that you couldn't ignore, for Pete's sake. See? So that's the whole thing. You have to twist all these things back together if you're going to recreate the Samaritan king's view of how the Garden of Eden applied through the lifetime of Methuselah.
Well, it was interesting because in the story of Enoch, the Garden of Eden is in the third heaven. So
yes.
That was also, so this made me think of this whole thing about layers of heaven and they get caught up in the clouds and everything, but then it's also, so it's almost like on the one hand it's, I don't know, spiritual, and then on the other hand there's a physical manifestation.
Now, you're referencing Aubrey de Grey. That's his words. But the death would occur from an accident or a homicide. That's Aubrey de Grey. And that's valid. That's valid, but it doesn't exactly apply. But go ahead. That's fine. That's a little reference. You get it. Bert got it. So come on, let's go.
Okay. So, that's all right. I don't know what my question is. I'll come back to it. It's fine. I got to look through some of these other things. All right.
Okay.
I'm good.
Go back this way. You got Adam and Eve, and that drops down to Abel, Cain, and Seth. All right. Then Cain drops down to Enoch, then Irad, then Majul, then Methuselah, then Lamech, then Ada, then Jabel, and then Jubal. Grows over to Zillah, Tubal-Cain, and Naaman. Don't forget Naaman. And on the Seth side, you got Seth, Enos, Kenan, Malachi, Makalala, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech, Noah, then Ham, Shem, and Japheth. See how the drop falls? Both are presenting the Methuselah star.
Mm.
You see the difference? See, that's the rub. So you can't sit here and go, one, it's one or the other. They both are presented. But they don't land at the same place. But they have unparalleled skills of survival.
Mm. Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so now what you got to do is you look through the markers. It's a cosmonaut's view. You've got to look at it and shred it back down through all the conditional responses of taking the double helix strand and looking at it from the top down. So that you add the 144,000 double helix view. It makes a whole different swirl. And all these different references fit. They fit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
That's fun. You've been doing your homework, girly. We like that.
Very good.
Go to the Jubilees book.
Little Genesis.
Look at that. That'll help give you some more words. They're not good. But it'll explain the apocalypse of Moses.
Okay.
Good. That's good. Excellent. And so what you're doing is you're setting the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what you're doing. You're trying to verify the position that allows that to occur. Because you're making space in the past for the future that applies for now. See, the Lamb's blood doesn't change. It doesn't change. But you've got to get you to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Mm. Very good.
See the rub? That doesn't change, but we've got to get you to it. We've got to get the bride ready for the bridegroom. Because Jesus is not a pedophile.
Amen.
Okay, thank you a lot. Thanks a lot, Jenny.
Thank you, Bob.
That was
good question.
Bobby, that was good. That was insightful, and it was very applicable to the right here, right now. It actually was on point. Like
good.
In Luke 3. Look at the lineage of Adam, Luke 3.
Okay.
I know who Enoch is today.
I know. But First Chronicles 1:3 talks about Saul, and you don't know how Saul applies to Methuselah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Enoch's alive, Jenny. He's here today.
Very
good,
Bob.
He's dipping brut in scotch snuff. Yes, he's got more spit in his chow.
Yeah. Okay, thank
all
you,
all right.
Jenny.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Ion.
Yeah. All right,
you're welcome, baby.
Hey, Greg doesn't have any questions, eh? I guess you left. Okay. So this is either Nick or Michael or Bert.
They're making the cake, making the cut. Open it up. Let's go. Let's get it. Do a triad. Do a triad, Bob.
Yeah, who's this?
We can do some Slavonic Enoch, Bob. That'd be hot. Won't you?
No.
We wouldn't either. Second.
Where is that? Nick, Michael, or Bird? Is that Bird? Somebody coming through so
loud. You had to unmute them, darling.
I did.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
But then just go to Bert. We never met. Or pick who you want to pick. You run this.
Okay, go ahead, Dan. Run it.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead. You got it loud and clearly.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Thank you. Hi.
Hey, darling.
Why in the Bible, if a curse is given It is toward all the future family line, such as in Naaman.
Yeah.
When the servant of Elijah, asked for
generational curses. That is, see, what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. Okay, and you can have the ones that would be passed on are living the same exact lives as your parents did, or another curse would be having to work too hard or engage in hard labor, or not engaging your children's feelings so you bind them into the same problem, or not teaching your children life skills, like how not to be enslaved or in bondage. Mm-hmm.
Well, rather than doing for the whole future family line, can't they just make them sterile and not have the line?
They don't, though.
No.
Leviticus 29 is very clear.
I don't know that one, but I will look it up later.
Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Because they have cursed their father and mother, their blood will be on their own head. So, very clear.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh, no. You're not through with that. Come on now. You're doing good. Deuteronomy 28:15. You're doing good. Ah. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come to you and overtake you. Right up into the thing of Exodus 21:17. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. And then it falls right into Jeremiah 15:10. We're so glad you brought this up. This is great. Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I have neither lent nor borrowed, yet everyone curses me. Or Galatians 3:13, where Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Exodus 34:7, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their parents to the third and the fourth generation. See how it kind of gets to be a following a flame of a redacted position of payback. Luke 6:28. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. So you're trying to come out of it now. That gets you all the way up to Numbers 14:18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. It's a renumbering theme. Genesis 3:17, you can look at it. Nope.
Okay.
Proverbs 26:2, Deuteronomy 5:9, Galatians 5:1, Exodus 25, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 1 John 4:4, 2 Samuel 15:5-8. We're so glad you brought this up. It's 2 Samuel 16, verses 5-8. Lays it all out. Deuteronomy 21:23, Exodus 25:6. Did you get that? Make sure you get all those now. 1 Samuel 17:43, Ezekiel 18:20, Jeremiah 31:29-30, Exodus 26, that's 20, and then verse 6, Deuteronomy 18:10-12. Got that, Eugene? Romans 8:37-39, 1 Peter 5:8-9, Genesis 3:17-19. Then you go on down a little further and you get down to Genesis 4:10-12. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be restless wanderer on the earth. Damn it, man. Genesis 9:18-27. 1 Kings 2:32-46. Bob wanted a little content. Got to do something. Job 2:9. Job 19:17. Job 1:10. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17, Matthew 5, verse 22, Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, grace the glory of God, Romans 6, 23, Genesis 9, 25, Psalms 104, 9, Genesis 6, 12, God saw how corrupt the earth had become, and for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. It's generational. Genesis 7, 20, Genesis 8, 5, Genesis 8, 9, Genesis 9, 11. It just goes on and on and on and on. One more good one. Here we go. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and not, do not curse. Bless them and do not curse. That'll get you, that'll give you some weekend reading for you there, darling. Is that enough?
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, I guess, the other question would be, I think you mentioned the Exodus 21:17, where, not against the parents. Well, what if the parents are very bad parents and, what do you call it? Beat the children, or to honor the parents if they're not good parents?
Doesn't matter. You got to go to Exodus 25. See, it's a jealous God. It's not the children or the parents. The punishing the children for the sins of the parents of the third and fourth generation for those who hate me. So it catches itself up. It can only go through one generation if you don't take it up. But what happens is they thought, okay, let's do it this way. We're not really fond of the pedophiles. Do you get that?
Right.
Can a pedophile become a god? Now hang on now. This is important. Can a pedophile become a god?
Yes. I think they could.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that position of power, when they abuse, what you say, abuse a child. Now, Oprah Winfrey says if you do it right, they don't feel abused. Our little Oakley Winfrey, yeah, she says if you do it right, they don't feel abused. There's no problem if you do it right. That's what she's trying to teach them. But once that occurs or happens, what you find happening or occurring is that becomes another generational thing. How do you wake up and say, you know what? I think it would be very titillating to molest a little kid. At what point does that turn on your buttons? That's the generational fallout. So then you molest other children, and then they become molesters because they don't know what they like. They like what they know, you see? Because that fine line between the agony ecstasy issue. That's the thing. Well, I'm not going to do that, and that's exactly what you do. Well, I want to be delivered from that, and that's exactly what you do. Over and over and over and over and over. You can't beat it. You can't go past it. But what you can do is ascend beyond it. That's how you stop that. That's how you stop the chain, what we call the chain of pain. Same thing that you start embracing these monikers that don't lead you anywhere. Same thing happened to Moses. He was a murderer, so he had to pass his mantle on. He fucked up because he judged himself, and he was pretty well chosen. Wouldn't you agree?
Right, but I thought in the Ten Commandments it said, "Thou shalt not kill," and that it's a suicide, not the person agrees to be suicidal.
Agreed. But Moses said, "Wait a minute, I killed, so therefore I broke the rule," and there was no Jesus to save Moses, so he had no choice. See the rub? That's self-deprecation, the self-deprecation that excludes you from your own blessing. That's what Jenny Bell was very perfect to lay out all the words specifically that she laid out greatly. She did a great job of pulling that all together from trying to stay from Lamech all the way up to Paul Pelosi. He had a
bad day.
He had a bad day today or a good day today. Now that he's pled not guilty, now they got all the cameras. They got the camera. They got that marvelous beam footage. So they're going to lay him a waste. He probably shouldn't run for re-election these days. even in Napa Valley. You know, he should have stayed at his winery. If you're going to have a wino decorate your house, you should live with the wino and not get out in the road and tearing up shit. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. But you'll see. Go ahead.
Didn't he only get 5 days or something like that?
But he served no time. That's not, no. Nobody cares about that. Yeah. He's got 5 days in jail with no jail time. He's got to do 1 day of community service. That's not the point. The point is that now it's all laid out and all the footage has been released. So now everybody sees the ridiculousness that all this is brought forth. That this poking hierarchy that even George Soros can't fix. You can't make this stuff up. It's pretty sweet.
Right.
As Roxy used to say back in the days of Wine and Roses, all is recorded. So it
yeah.
is.
Yes. Okay. I don't want to take too much time, but I'd like to know the Trumpet Sound.
Oh, you're doing great.
Okay. Thank you. I think I'm not sure. I didn't read the Bible, but I heard that everyone will hear the trumpet sound when, I guess the Eastern Gate is open? Is that correct?
Yes.
Or am I wrong?
That's exactly right. Okay, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable and shall be changed. That's the point. That's the redemption.
And what is actually the trumpet sound? What makes up that sound? Is that the portal opening, or is that a chemical reaction, or
which
other
trumpet
than a vibration?
Which trumpet?
Well, the last trumpet.
So see, there's seven trumpets. Yeah.
The last that will sound. I mean, if everyone hears, I mean, if this is literal, hears this.
It is. And so the glory then is given to God. Okay, this is the part, that's where it's finished. Once that trumpet is sounded, then you have to come and hear. The glory is given to Bob, or God. And then the kingdom is announced. And that kingdom is your kingdom, if you hear the sound. Mm-hmm.
So the sound, well, other than like a vibration, what is the sound made up of? I mean, that's a strange question, I know.
No. It's laid out in the shofar, Exodus 19, 5 through 13. That'll help you.
Okay.
Just like that.
All right, I'll do that.
Because see, then what happens is that gives you the side, and then it goes to the other side of laying out the details with Revelation 1:9. That'll help you too a little bit. Jenny Bell hates this shit. We're so sorry. You fucking mess up. She don't even know. She hates it. She's done this Bible stuff so she's blue in the face. Like she'd rather us read from the devil book or something terrible or something nasty instead of taking the Thessalonians 4, for God's sake. Who isn't going to talk about Thessalonians 4? Oh, this is terrible. But the signals are clear. You see, so you got to watch. We have to be careful. We better hush.
Okay.
The sound, no, we're not going to do that. We don't have to do that. We don't owe. So we don't have to be that careful. We don't owe. We're trying to say, the sound of that trumpet sets something into motion, the clarion call for you to come into your power or you to be devoured in a den of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
That sets the judgment where you can move beyond it and come on with it or lay it down. See the rub?
Okay. Well, I hear the words, and I'll wait for the sound. That's all I should do.
The question then becomes is, who's going to hear the sound of the trumpet?
Uh-huh. Yes, who will?
Those that are ascended. Now, we're not right. making a big to-do now. Be careful. This is the Herbert W. Armstrong version of the rupture, the great rapture, the rupture. We're not really talking about that so much because that's just a tempest-tossed position to let you know you're doomed. This is more the Revelation 11:15 version.
Okay. Okay.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm in the holy city. Yeah, you think.
Okay. Thank you.
That was very good. That's very good. You think that y'all doing good tonight. Y'all doing, we ain't worth shit, but y'all doing real good tonight. Did you know that?
Oh, well, that's a lot of idle to look up, but I will do that. Thank you.
Okay. So then don't forget, though, when you get through, go back to Nehemiah 4:20.
Okay.
You're going to do all that. If you're going that far down the rabbit hole, you're going to dig a ditch. You might as well dig it all, right?
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Thank you, Nan. That was
Cherish you, Nan. We cherish you, Nan. We cherish you. You're doing good. No, you really are doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's the rub. So don't quit. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Get on with it.
Nan, give me a noun. I didn't listen, so I don't know what you said. But what would I call your, for the notes, what did you talk about?
The first
curses. I have your curses.
Right. The second is a trumpet sound.
What?
Yeah.
The last,
what to do?
The last
no. No. Yeah. No, no, Bob. It's what to do if you have a bad hair day. What to do if you have a bad hair day, Bob. Just put that in the note. That's all you got to put.
So what did you, give me a topic you talked about besides curses.
The trumpet sound. What, the last trumpet. What is
okay.
the sound?
All right. The last trumpet. The last trumpet. Sorry, I was distracted by Enoch. He objected to me pointing out that he's still alive. He's here in the house.
Ah! He was oogling Carolyn. Don't believe it for a second. He was oogling the sweet Dr.
That's true.
Dean. That's what
he's
he
doing
was
doing. Too.
He's paying attention. It's ridiculous. You need to clean the, watch your crooks and nannies, mister. You got too much to stake here, so just so
okay.
you know.
Okay, so let's see who's next. Did I already say next?
Did we do one? Is something going on?
I said Jermaine.
Jermaine. We ain't heard from Jermaine in forever. She might be rich
gone.
Right now. She done quit
Jermaine's
you.
Gone.
She done quit you. Quit you. She got a better deal.
Yeah. Who's this? Oh, there's Jermaine.
Hey,
okay,
Jermaine.
Any question? Jermaine? That's a question, Jermaine?
She's got to unmute. Give her a second, Bob. Come on, he's up.
Yes,
he's
I'm
up,
here,
boss.
I'm here.
Hey,
you.
Howdy, hanging, girlie. Where the hell you been going on? We thought you'd quit us for a better deal.
Never. I'm here all the time.
No, we were poking. We know already. Okay, what you want to know?
Okay, well, I'm so excited. I don't know what to ask you because I've had questions for so many weeks. Okay, first one. So, you know, the last time that I talked to you and we went over with the, like, worlds, parallel worlds, chords, all that, remember?
Yes.
But then there was a new one that I've heard you say. You said, well, realities. Now there's realities in the mix. So I wanted to ask what's the
That's the king. That's what? The outer. That's okay. No, that's the mm-hmm. old outer, inner, and middle kingdoms. So these reigns are now starting to sort themselves. They were mixed mm-hmm. before, miscegenated, as it were. You could be up and down. Okay, I'm happy and I'm sad. I'm rich and I'm poor. I'm up and I'm down. I'm Satan and I'm horny. And all those things are kind of twirling into themselves, you see. You're like, well, now, wait a minute. I got to respond to this. I'm dressed or I'm naked. No, I'm sleepy. No, I'm tired. No, I'm up. No, I can't sleep at night, but I get tired when I'm taking my walk. How does that work? See, those things intermingle and they twist and turn. and you can't gauge it because you don't know what reality is. So how in the hell would you ever be able to sort that out? Except for now, as you wisely proclaimed, they're starting to sort themselves out. So you're able to see a little more than you know. Because see, like everybody's talking about, well, you're nothing because you're not rich. And you laugh and you go, but I know what rich is. You don't. You got a whole bunch of pieces of paper that ain't worth a flip, that ain't worth spit. So, yeah, you're not qualified to be involved in this conversation as you giggle when they have to come eat out of your bread basket, you see.
Okay, so I get the realities are just everything that you're feeling throughout the day. Would this be a good example? Like, I've been having the craziest feelings because I can feel when I'm in and out of reality. And it does make me feel I'm tired. Oh, I'm back up here. I'm going to fade away. Then those are realities?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And those are references based on where you were. Not where you are, where you were.
Where you...
You see?
Of being in and out.
Okay.
Even though, like...
Okay, okay. No. Can't do it that way. Let's do it this way.
Okay.
You want to have interaction. So you have interaction. Then you build it to a crescendo. And that crescendo ends with a climax or not. Okay? But all the way up to that point of that position, it's enjoyable. And then when you have the climax, if that works out, then it's a release. And then that begins a whole other level of euphoria. But that's not the same as almost there. But all of them apply in the conversation. See the rub? Pardon the pun. Pardon the pun! So then what happens is, what happens then is you come to a place where now you can start to now adjudicate the position. Okay, let's do it like this. Karen gets up. She does her thing. She makes her circle. And then she goes up. And she goes out the door. And she's got her keys in her ears. And she stomps down Hail Hill. The nicest prison you ever want to serve time in is where Carolyn is. It's amazing. She stomps down Hail Hill with the keys in the air, making them do what they're supposed to do. Setting the crooked way straight. Laying it out. Speaking the word of God to God like he don't know what the word of God is. She can quote scripture to God like God don't know what the spirit, what the scriptures say. You see? That's powerful because she applies that power. She does that all the time, every day. And different things occur from that interaction. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
You see? And she applies them appropriately. And now what she does from that is she adjusts accordingly. Well, that's a little too hot. Okay, back that off a little bit. Okay, that's something a little bit more. Okay, let's go a little bit more. Juice it a little bit more here. Double clutch it. Double clutch it. You don't know what a clutch is, but if you knew what a clutch was, it would be double clutch it. So then you can say, oh, okay, I'm starting to get a feel for this. Once you start to get a feel for it, those kingdoms become divided and segregated. And once that happens, then you can adjust accordingly. That's the point. That's the point of order. That's the part you, that was your first question. Bob's, what she's talking about is sorting of the kingdoms. Sorting of the kingdoms. For the rule, and here we go, this goes back to the rule and reign of Christ, which is the one that's got all the power. I got the power. Okay. So, we're going to have Michael Jackson come sing at your birthday party. Is that all right?
Yes. Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
That's fun.
So then, this is great. So now... you said adjudicate the position, and then that point, because last time you said you guys don't even know where here is. So
I'm happy as
here?
Compared to what? I'm left of right. I'm left of right. Okay. No, I'm right of left. Well, you don't know what right is. So you got left.
Yeah.
You got left trying to be right. You got left trying to be right. You should have left with right. Right would live with their three lefts make a right. Well, three lefts make a right. Which one's right? Are you left? See?
Yes.
In the rough.
Okay.
So if you don't know where you are, how in the world are you ever going to navigate this place? We get so giggly with people with Google. Waze. Is that the one? Ginny Bell likes Waze. You know what Waze is? Waze.
Yes.
Okay. So they'll tell you where to go. They'll tell you how long it's going to take to get there. They tell you wherever goddamn popo is. They tell you wherever car stopped on the road, ever pothole, ever problem from here to Sausalito. They'll tell you to the minute what time you're going to arrive. It'll give you the best direction. How could they possibly know that? To begin with, how they know where you are.
Right.
They know where you are when you don't know where you are. And how can they gauge and adjudicate the position and path to the minute?
Mm-hmm.
Even with traffic, or even it'll adjust for traffic. If something happens in the interim, and they say, oh, we've got another little route. We're going to turn left here. We're going to go right there, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be there, and it's all fine. They know that's smarter.